they know that no matter what happens in their lives, they've got their dad. You know, that would be the best feeling anybody could have. Imagine knowing that, yeah, someone's got my back all the time. It don't matter. You know what I mean? It's like, what a great feeling.
No doubt. The best security blanket in the world, right?
Yeah, you got it. Dad's the best. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Groove Life. Groove Life was born in the Alaskan wilderness by husband, father, and adventure guide, Peter Goodwin. He realized his lifestyle demanded gear that could keep up with him. After selling the General Lodge, a wilderness retreat that he had built with his own hands and fueled by the desire to design premium, innovative products that were backed by unbelievable customer service was when Groove Life was born. Working in a freezing garage in Alaska, Peter worked relentlessly for 6 months trying to perfect the original Groove Ring. Having no idea what success this would eventually bring, his only focus was to somehow provide for his family, and that he did. After him and his family moved to Tennessee a few years later, Groove Life now employs over 170 people and produces adventure-inspired outdoor lifestyle product lines like silicone rings, belts, watches, and they just teamed up with the legendary Tony Hawk for a new silicone ring line. You should definitely check it out. And also, make sure you check out my interview with Peter Goodwin, where he shares his fatherhood journey as well as the inspiration to start up Groove Life. For more information on Groove Life, make sure to go to groovelife.com.
What's up, everyone? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood. On the line is the one and only Danny Trejo. What's up, sir?
What's up? How you doing, Holmes?
Good, man. Looking forward to chatting with you. We're going to talk about this great book. You worked with Donald Logue with this. We're going to talk about it in a second. But I love bringing great guys like yourself talking about fatherhood. One of the things that, you know, you've been saying recently while you, you know, been talking about this book and just in general with your whole life, you're like, everything good that has come in your life has been followed by something that you've helped out other people, right? So you're paying it forward and people will pay it back to you. That is such a great life lesson and a value you probably, you know, teaching your kids. Talk about another, you know, talk about some of the other values you were looking to instill into them, sir.
You know what? It's funny. This lady once told me that all the kids, all her daughter's friends were going, and her son's friends were going to the beach. And they had to stay home and help their mom move. My son said, my dad kicked me in the ass if I didn't help you. You know, I mean, it was just like help. It's like everything. The more we do for other people, the more we get. It's karma, you know, and I honestly believe that's the way to live. I didn't before, you know, but when my life changed, I said, wait a minute, you know, I'm either going to start being a better person or I'm going to die in prison, you know, and, you know, it's like, I've been doing pretty good.
Yes, you have, sir. Yes, you have. And take me back when you found out you were going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, sir?
Man, you know, I was a bachelor. I was just running around crazy. And well, I was actually married, but I was like, I didn't do well in marriages, you know, and my first child, I actually had with a woman I wasn't married to. And, Diane, I had Danny boy. And I didn't know she was going to have a baby. You know, I didn't know. I mean, I figured, you know, we'll get an abortion, just, you know, just get on with our lives. And she said no, and she had this little boy, and I fell in love with him. And we didn't stay together, but I stayed with him, you know, and then she left with drug addiction, and I ended up with this kid, you know. I ended up with this little kid that this whole world depended on me, you know, and thank God I was clean and sober. I was already, you know, in the program, and I didn't know what to do. I remember when I got him, one night I went over to Diane's house, and she had started using, and connection was there, and I threatened to throw him out of a three-story building, and I picked up this kid, and I remember telling her, don't try to see him. You know? And,
yeah.
And I'd run around Hollywood trying to figure out what to do with this kid. I got to go to work the next day. You know?
Yeah.
I remember Nanny, the lady that used to take care of him. And I went over to her house, and, you know, she immediately just grabbed him and, yes, absolutely, don't worry. And I knew that, okay, I have a responsibility now, not to anything else, but to this kid, you know. And no matter what happened with me and her, I stayed with this kid. And then when me and Maeve got together, she couldn't see me over here with her and my son in Hollywood. You know, we were in Venice, and so we brought Daddy Boy to live with us, and it was just kind of, you know, that was the beginning of, I mean, I've been in love with my children, and I think fatherhood is like being in love with your children, and no matter what else happens, your children know, man, I can turn to my dad, you know, I mean, that's, you know, I don't care what it is, I can turn to my dad, you know. And that's, my kids know that, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. I love that. And two more questions before we get into your great book. We're always feeling as parents we have the answers, right? But we learn a lot of life lessons from our, you know, from our kids. So what is something that you have learned about yourself or about life in general that your kids have taught you that you wouldn't mind sharing with me, sir?
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, first of all, raising kids, it's like to raise kids, you have to have a great support system, because your kids sometimes don't want to hear things from you, you know, but they can hear something from you. Just got to make sure that the people around you are, you know, like, it's like me. It's like, I couldn't hear anything from my mom, my dad. I could hear everything from my uncle. The only problem, he was a drug dealer and an armed robber, you know, but, you know, that wasn't like a good support system, but that was the closest thing I had to a role model. And I think that my kids have taught me that, no, you don't know everything. And you know what? I remember when we bought a computer, and, you know, I bought the four-wheel drive one. I didn't even know what hit the one with the four-wheel drive. And we had this beautiful big thing. And my daughter sat down and started, like, she was like seven, and started like doing something. And I, hey, no, that's not a toy. You know what I mean? And she looked at me, and the guy that just installed it says, wow, she knows what she's doing. I didn't know how to turn a damn thing on. You know? Still don't. I got an assistant that works the computer.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget that. So it's like, and now in this time, you know, if you're not, what do you call it? Internet savvy or computer savvy, ask your kids.
That's fantastic, Danny. What is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads listening to this, sir?
Never stop saying you love them. Mm. Never stop saying you love them. And you know, I grew up in a place where you never heard I love you, especially from the men, you know. It's like, men don't play that. You know? Every day, you know, every day my kids knock, I might call them and tell them I love them, you know.
Yeah.
And just know that, you know, they know that no matter what happens in their lives, they've got their dad. You know, that would be the best feeling anybody could have. Imagine knowing that, yeah, someone's got my back all the time. It don't matter. You know what I mean? It's like, what a great feeling.
No doubt. The best security blanket in the world, right?
Yeah, you got it. That's the, yeah, that's great. I love that. Hey, I learned something today.
If I could impress Dan, you know, Danny Trejo, I'm having a good day as well. This book, like I said, you worked with Donald Logue on this. And this was, I mean, you know, Trejo, my life of crime, redemption in Hollywood, such a great read. You talk about so many different things in this book. You know, you talked about earlier about, like, you know, men in your life weren't saying I love you and all this other stuff. And if people, you know, you're at the point where people kind of know your story, but this just puts it out more. Like, there's more and more detail that you share about this. And like you said, you could have you know, ended up in prison, or you could have gone the other route and changed. And you're helping so many great people, you know, that need it. Everything that you're doing, of course, you know, you're bringing people entertainment. But what are you most proud of working on this book? And because, of course, you know, now with the internet and being internet savvy, people will could run with a story like, oh, Danny Trejo did this, or his life was like this. But this is the source. This is where people can get it from. And of course, we'll put up links where people can purchase this. But while you're writing this book, what are you most proud of?
I think the most proudest thing is that, you know, I've always known that people are as sick as their secrets, you know. And the first time I wrote it, the first time me and Donald Logue wrote it, and I gave Maeve, my kid's mom, a chapter, because we've been together 40 years. I mean, we haven't been together, but we've been friends. We got kids, you know. So she read it. She's really good, man. It sounds like, you know, you're just a great guy. And how did you get here? You know, what about your mom? You know, and what about you? I remember when I took Maeve and my kids over to my mom's, Maeve said, I never want to go there again. I've never met a lady so cold in my life. It's like, you know, her vibe is, and I thought, wow, you know, I never knew that. You know, that's just how things were, you know. And because Maeve was real huggy, kind of with kids, huggy and lovey, you know. And I realized that. And so when she read the thing, she says, you got to put this stuff about your mom and your dad, the things that made you, you know, because these things make you. I mean, and I said, well, I don't blame nobody. It's not blame. It's what they do, you know, just what. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad because, you know, I know there's kids in juvenile hall that have dads that are just vicious, you know, and yeah. That's the way they were raised, you know, so I'm just glad. I want them to take away that, you know what, no matter where you start, it matters where you end.
No doubt. And I think what this book shows people that you can break the cycle of violence. You can break the cycle, you know, the cycle of, you know, just negativity and all those stuff. And you're, you know, proof positive of that. And like I said, this book has themes of compassion, redemption, strength, all of these different things that, again, it takes a village, not just to raise kids, but to also help you out too, right? And so, when people read a book, they're going to take different things away from it. Like I said, I took away like redemption and just caring and paying it forward. For you as the author, what do you hope people will take away from this book after they're done reading it?
I do. Is I want them to know that, you know what, no matter what, no matter where your life is, it's like change is just around the corner. All you got to do is just start helping people. And I'm telling you, being of service to humanity is such a feeling. And people are, well, you know, I can write a check. No, you can just go to your closet, get some old clothes that you've got that you're not wearing anymore, and go down and give them to some homeless guy. And it's like, you've just made somebody's day. Do you understand? You just made, wow, thank you. When I was going through this last divorce, and me and my wife were pretty wealthy, you know, but after the divorce, I wasn't. You know, I had a bank account, you know, and I'm going through pretty fast. And I remember knowing that I'm feeling sorry for myself again. So I got some money. I went down to Main Street, you know, downtown, the homeless thing, passed out here's a couple bucks, just, just the feeling of giving. And I got this one lady, she was sitting on a blanket, she had two little kids. Look clean, you know, and you could tell she was a good mom, a well-behaved kid sitting there. And she was selling these little string bracelets. You ever see these little bracelets made out of string, you know? And I says, how much? She says, I think they were 50 cents. I don't remember, you know what I mean? So I put a 20 down, you know, and this lady got scared. I mean, she, oh, no, I don't have change. I don't have change. I don't know if she was afraid that I was going to accuse her of stealing or whatever, you know what I mean? But I said, no, that's fine. And I took two of them. And I said, that's all. Thank you very much. Have a great day. I gave her 20, right? And this lady almost busted in. Oh, my God, thank you so much. Sir, I can buy my children shoes. When she said that, I was like, where are you shopping?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, and But I walked away feeling like I made somebody's day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just that lady was so happy. And the kids both said thank you, you know, but I walked away, made my life ain't that bad.
Yeah.
You know, man, my life ain't that bad. You know, all I got to do is see, you know, there's always somebody worse off. And and if I can help that person worse off, I feel a lot better.
No doubt. And again, it's just a great way to, you know, pay it forward, but also you're a great example to your kids. And that, you know, seeing like, hey, he's helping them out. And the smallest thing that you think you're doing can brighten up someone's day, and it could be a big thing. Like you said, like she's going to go buy shoes for her kids, wherever she goes. Maybe it's like in one of those, you know, Goodwill places, wherever the case may be. Right. And like, she'll feel like, all right, I can provide for my kids. You doing that simple gesture goes a huge way, a long way. We've got two more questions before I end up with the Fatherhood Quick Five. While writing this book, you talked about movies, like your experience on movie sets, and it was great because, you know, we see you, and we've talked about it before. You've talked about it before, like, I'm inmate number 10, I'm inmate number one, I'm drug dealer this, so this. And as people saw your talent and as people were giving you opportunities, you started creating these iconic roles, right? Is there, and it doesn't, I mean, you don't have to say like your favorite role of all time, but is there something, a role that you're proud of, a movie, just because of where you were in your career, what it meant for you, or just of course now, like I'm a white guy, right? So I always see like white guys being heroes and all this other stuff. We see a lot more, thankfully, representation of different colors of just, you know, heroes comes in all shapes and sizes and colors. For you, was there a role that meant a lot to you just for what that role meant and what other people seeing like, hey, that guy looks like me, I can be like that?
Well, you know, when I did Machete, kind of like, well, I'm the first Latin American hero, you know, and when kids came to my, after I did Machete, when kids came to my door, knocked on my door on Halloween, and I seen them dress with Machete, you know, like, who are you? I'm Machete, you know. I go, oh my, I mean, I almost came to tears, you know, because they weren't Superman, they weren't Batman, they weren't, you know, yeah. They were like Machete. They were like, you know, a Mexican superhero, you know, and then when I did a film called Heat.
Oh, great film.
Did with Robert De Niro, with Val Kilmer, you know what I mean? With John Voight, Tom Sizemore. I mean, whoa, these are like all heavies, you know. And it pushed my stock up as far as movies, you know, and then I did Spy Kids.
Yeah.
I opened up to a whole brand new audience, you know, and my son was saying, you know, my son was, Dad, kids know me because I'm the son of Uncle Machete from Spy Kids, you know, and it was funny, you know, that movie, I've heard, look, Mommy, the man from Spy Kids in 20 different languages. Oh, you know, every time I get in the airport, somebody will know, remember me from Spy Kids.
Yeah. Love it. That's fantastic. Okay. One more question before we go into the Fatherhood Quick Five. You're being interviewed about your, you know, Trejo's Tacos, man. Love it. It's, you know, we're recording this on a Tuesday. So Taco Tuesday is always a great day to talk about tacos. But for you, like the cauliflower one, like, this is really good. There's no meat in it. And you, like, you were joking about like how you see like bikers coming like, hey, I want the cauliflower, right? So for you right now, it doesn't have to be your ultimate taco, but what is your, the you know, from Trejo's Tacos, what is like your taco of choice right now?
Well, right now I've been really, we have a blackened salmon taco. Mm. And I've never really been a favorite of
seafood,
salmon. You know, I like whitefish and halibut and stuff, but the blackened salmon is so delicious that I, you know, so that's my favorite right now is blackened salmon. And everybody, that's one of their favorites, you know. But I love it when bikers come in and, let me have the cauliflower.
Love it. Now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. I know you're a busy guy, and I really appreciate you taking time with me. Favorite family movie right now? Do you guys have one that you like to watch together?
Machete.
There you go. Is there an artist or a band you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to when they got to a certain age to appreciate it?
Dennis Hopper.
Cool. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Cabo San Lucas.
Nice. Actor or actress you'd love to work with next on your next project would be?
Man, I work with so many, but I love Michelle Rodriguez.
Okay.
She's just a great, great actress, buddy, pal, and she's a great actress too.
Nice. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, what would they be?
Best friend ever.
Oh, great. People, make sure you pick up this book. It's great. We were talking earlier about like heat and all this other stuff. So many great stories in this. Pick it up wherever books are sold. And while you're on the interwebs buying the book, go to Official Danny T on Twitter. Danny, it's been an honor chatting with you. I wish you and your family continued
where
success,
sir. Where are you at? Where are you at?
I'm over in North Carolina, sir.
Okay. If you're ever in L.A., let me know.
All right. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Bless you, too.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.